We interrupt your regularly scheduled podcast to bring you Listen, Watch, Discuss. Enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome back to Listen, Watch, Discuss. As always, I'm your host, Brent Aiken. And on tonight's episode, I will not be reviewing The Holdovers because my theater was not showing the movie. And I'm a little disappointed in that because I was looking forward to that movie. Maybe it's something where they're like, you know, we have too many movies showing this week. You know, maybe they'll end up showing it a week or 2 weeks from now. You know, they'll have some slots open up, but for whatever reason, they're not showing it. So, and you know, I did mention last week that this week's review might not be, or this week's episode might not be a review of that. And I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to talk about. So I figured this would be a really good opportunity to talk about some trailers that have come out recently. Although one of them, or a couple of them I'm going to be talking about, the trailers have been out for a couple months. One in particular, the trailer's been out for like three, four months, maybe. But yeah, I figured, you know, all these really it's one show and the rest are movies. But all of these properties, the show and these movies, I'm looking forward to. And you know, some more than others, but I am genuinely invested in checking all of the, and interested in checking all of these out. And yeah, I just figured, you know, I haven't done this in a while. I haven't talked about trailers, and my thoughts on them, you know, shared my thoughts on them with you guys, in a while. So I figured now when I don't really have anything planned, I don't have anything in mind or, any show or movie to talk about, I'm like, well, yeah, this is a perfect time to do this. With that being said, let's get into talking about, again, in no particular order, I just came up with a random order to talk about these in. I guess maybe my investment or my interest in them is, that's kind of the order I'm going in, like the show or movies that I'm most interested in, I'll be talking about first and then going down the list. But again, it's kind of just a random order I just came up with. So first off, we'll be talking about, you know, I'll be talking about the trailer for Echo. Now, this trailer's been out for about a week, and I've been looking forward to this show ever since they announced it. I guess it's been like almost 2 years ago at this point. But, you know, when Hawkeye first came out, any of you that have seen Hawkeye on Disney Plus, you'll know that, in that show, there was a character introduced called Echo. She was a, you know, this pretty badass, you know, formidable foe for Hawkeye. Like, she was a pretty good fighter. And it was kind of neat that she was not only was she a superhero or supervillain, you know. She was a pretty cool supervillain that could hold her own in a fight. But she was also deaf and an amputee. And she's also Native American. So it's like checking off all the boxes. But I mean that in a good way. It's like it's kind of neat that like she's, and what makes it even more interesting, or what made it even more fascinating and cool, is that it wasn't just it wasn't just representation for, you know, people who might not always get that the best representation, but it was also like the actress who plays Echo, and I know I am going to butcher the shit out of her first name. Is it Alaquia Cox? You know what? Let me look this up because I know it's going to bother me. I know her last name is Cox, like Courtney Cox. Let's see. I'll just type in Echo Marvel. Yeah. Okay, so Alaqua, L-A-L-A-Q-U-A, Alaqua Cox. Okay, yeah, so I'm pretty sure I got her name right. I thought it was cool that the Alaqua Cox actually is all those things. She actually is an amputee. She's got one prosthetic leg. She's deaf and she's Native American. So it's like, oh, cool. She actually is all the things that she's portraying. It's kind of like in the Quiet Place movies, the actress who plays the daughter actually is deaf in real life, you know. And obviously, I mean, they didn't have to do that. I mean, you know, because it's cool that they did. But, like, you know, an actor's job is to act. So they could have just had, you know, they could have just gotten an actress that you know, was acting deaf, pretending to be deaf. But they took it an extra step further and actually, you know, got someone who is deaf and also an amputee and, you know, Native American. So I just think that's cool. But, you know, she was a cool character. And, you know, they shortly, either it was in the middle of the show or in the middle of the show airing or the towards the end of the season of Hawkeye, where they announced that she was getting her own spinoff. And I was like, oh, cool, this should be interesting. And the first, you know, the trailer for it came out on the 3rd. So, yeah, it was a week ago today. And I was expecting it to be good, but the trailer was really good. Like, I was like, oh, shit, when it, the further it went, the more it went on, I was like, oh, yeah, this is going to be really good. Because I wasn't expecting it to be rated TV-MA. So, you know, when we first see that first scene in the trailer, when we see, you know, it caught me off guard, because the first scene of the trailer is it's a young Maya, or that's Echo's real name, like Maya is a real name. It's a young Maya, you know, it looks like she's leaving school, you know, like she's got her schoolgirl uniform on. She goes up to this ice cream vendor and she's like, oh, I want an ice cream. And then he's just being a dick and he's like moving his hands like mouths and he's like, I don't know what you're saying, you know, like he's just being an asshole to this deaf girl who just wants some ice cream. And it's like, bitch, who the hell are you to just talk shit to this kid? And and unfortunately for him, unfortunately for that ice cream guy, Kingpin was watching, Wilson Fisk. And, you know, we see him get out of his car and just throw his ass against a dumpster and like punch him really hard in the face like 3 times. And we actually see the blood on the guy's face, and we see the blood get on Kingpin's suit and his fist, and like we get a shot of his hand like just shaking, covered in blood. And I'm like, oh shit, that's a little darker than I thought it was gonna get. But I loved it because I'm like, oh, we're actually, I'm like, is this actually gonna be like rated TVMA and not like TV-14 like some of the other shows that have been? And then, you know, we get shots later on in the trailer. And the trailer's great, by the way. I love, like, because it's called Echo, and, like, throughout the trailer, we get, like, little lines of dialogue from Kingpin, and we hear his voice echo, like, when he gets to the end of the lines. And, like, when he's beating up the guy, when he grunts, like, after he punches him, like, huh, you know, it echoes. I'm like, oh, shit, that was really good. So, yeah, I love that. And I love the way, you know, it's cut, like, all the scenes, you know, and the way it builds up. You know, it's great. But, you know, we get a lot of shots of, you know, we get some more shots of some violence in here. And we see one guy just get shot in the head. And I was like, oh, shit, okay, I wasn't that. And that caught me off guard, too, because, I mean, I was like, okay, well, a little bit of blood, that's not too bad. But I wasn't expecting someone to just get shot point blank in the head. And then we see a guy who's dead, who's like, who was bleeding. It looked like he was bleeding out from his eyes and mouth. Yeah, he's completely dead. Blood all over his eyes and mouth. We see two guys like covering a body. It looks like, I guess they just shot this guy, because like there's blood where he would be, where his head would be if he was standing, and then there's a body on the ground. And that's like these two agents, like they look like secret agents, these two agents dressed in tuxes, like covering the body in this plastic bag. And yeah, it's just, oh, and you know, so it's really cool that to see, you know, that type of violence that we normally wouldn't see in a Marvel property. You know, it's like, oh yeah, this is like kind of going back to, or in a way it's kind of like the Netflix shows, which I have not seen them. I gotta watch them, but yeah, I mean, it the trailer was really great, and it totally made me interested in checking this out. Now, it comes out, and it comes out pretty soon. It comes out January 10th, and unlike a lot of the other Marvel shows that have been releasing one episode a week, they are releasing them, all the episodes at once, and there's 5 episodes altogether. So, and yeah, it comes out January 10th, so it's just 2 months away, and I'm looking forward to it. And I love to, and this will give me enough time to at least watch Daredevil, because Kingpin, I know Kingpin, Wilson Fisk, was a big, like, he was a main character in Daredevil. And thankfully, because, you know, all the Marvel shows have, you know, since moved over to Disney Plus, I can, you know, binge Daredevil before Echo comes out. And yeah, it's, you know, it's kind of cool because, and Kingpin was in Hawkeye. You know, we saw both of them in Hawkeye. And, you know, Maya Echo was introduced in Hawkeye, and Kingpin, you know, is the same guy playing him, Vincent D'Onofrio. So it was cool to see, it's like, oh, they got him from from Daredevil, you know, and it was kind of neat seeing, you know, because the Marvel shows on Netflix weren't exactly connected to the MCU, but it was kind of neat seeing them brain over a character and slowly work in the Netflix Marvel shows into the MCU. You know, having Kingpin show up. And then we saw Daredevil show up in She-Hulk, and it's like, oh, it's nice they're integrating all these characters into the MCU. And we actually do see, and we at the very end, we get a shot of Echo, like, pointing her gun at Kingpin, at Wilson Fisk, and we see a shot of him, they're like, he's like talking to her, she's holding her gun at him, and he's got an eye patch over his eye. And it's like, oh, shit, nice. Because, like, if you remember at the end of Hawkeye, Kingpin got shot. Or she shot him in what we thought was the head. But it was, like, in his eye. And I think, if I remember correctly, we got a scene afterwards where he was wearing an eye patch. Like, they were having a conversation. I think. It's been, like, 2 years since I've seen it. I watched it when it came out. I haven't seen it since. But, you know, it's like, oh, okay, nice. And, he's like wearing a black suit, and he's got this cool looking eye patch. It looks cool, and it looks like. And I liked him in Hawkeye, but obviously he wasn't able to be as brutal as people claim he is in the Daredevil show, and as brutal as he was in this trailer. And we also get a shot of Daredevil, and I like that it's not. And someone pointed this out in the comments on the trailer on YouTube, but I like the fact that we get like a 1 or 2 second long shot of Daredevil in the trailer, and it's not some big end of the trailer, you know, hyped up moment like, oh shit, you know, like a big cameo at the end of the trailer. It's just, we see a brief glimpse of him. It's like a blink and you'll miss it moment. It's like, was that who I thought it was? But yeah, it's, you know, and they got the same guy, Brian Cox, to come back as Daredevil. And I was like, oh, it's nice that they, you know, I mean, they got him, you know, he's coming back. And then we got Kingpin and Echo. So it's just, it's cool to, I keep saying that, but it's cool to see, you know, them all coming back for this. And I've heard Daredevil, I mean, not Brian Cox, sorry. That's Logan Roy from Succession. Charlie Cox, there's too many Coxes. But yeah, Charlie Cox was Daredevil, yeah. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to this. I can't wait to see it. I'm glad in a way that they're releasing all the episodes at once, because I'd love to binge watch it, and I probably will when it comes out. But yeah, so hopefully it's good. And yeah, I'm glad that this is the first, because it was originally going to be Deadpool 3, I believe, that was going to be the first R-rated or MA-rated thing in Marvel, because Deadpool 3, what the hell, like, my mind's all over the place. Deadpool 3 was supposed to come out before this, I believe, but now I think they're looking at, like, a July release date, July 25th, maybe. So this is coming out before Deadpool 3. So this will be the first rated MA or rated R property in the MCU that's, like, actually a part of the MCU. Like, that's actually from the MCU. And I really love that. And, yeah, looking forward to it. I talked a little bit longer about this trailer than I meant to, but that's cool. So yeah, now, let's move on to the next trailer. So the next trailer I want to talk about is the teaser trailer for Inside Out 2. This just came out yesterday, and it's you know, been blowing up on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok. It's still number 3 on trending on YouTube, which is crazy. But yeah, if you haven't seen Inside Out, go watch it. It's one of, I feel like most people have, but it's one of Pixar's best movies. The animation's great. The voice acting's great. The writing's great. It's just altogether a really solid, really great movie. And I actually went to go see this, interestingly enough, I went to go see this when it came out, the first one, back in 2015. I think it was like June 19th. And my first nephew was actually born the night the movie came out. And I didn't realize that he was going to be born then. We didn't quite know when he was going to be born. But my stepsister was in the hospital, and she had the baby, and he became my first nephew. but I got the text for it after I got out of the movie. I'm like, oh shit, nice. So yeah, but it was kind of crazy that that happened to coincide with the movie coming out. And but the movie's great, and you know, I wasn't expecting a teaser for it to come out. I forgot that they were doing a second one. But I was like, oh yeah, they are doing it. And then I was like, oh yeah, when I saw the notification for it. And the teaser trailer is great. Like, you know, I love that, because in the first one, they did such a great job with making it so relatable to everyone, because everyone has felt these types of emotions. Everyone's felt, and you could argue that these are the five basic emotions that everyone feels. But yeah, I mean, you know, everyone feels happiness, sadness, or joy, sadness, fear, anger, and disgust, you know. And, you know, so like everyone could kind of like relate to this movie on some level. Even if you didn't specifically go through what Riley, the main human character in the movie, went through, you know, like you still kind of relate to some of the things that happen with her throughout the movie and some of the things that happen with the five main emotion characters in the movie. You know, like Joy's whole arc, you know, with like her wanting Riley to be happy and her kind of having like this emotional breakdown and realizing that, you know, Riley can't always be happy. She can't always be in control of Riley's mind, because she does need to feel sad at times. She needs to feel angry. She needs to be scared. She needs to be disgusted. You know, like she needs the other four emotions too. Yeah, and even though Joy is kind of the leader of the gang of the group, she does need to feel those other emotions. So, and it was great, you know, and everyone remembers Bing Bong, and just the way they like represented the mind and emotions was fantastic, you know, the way Pixar did it. And so this trailer, I love, you know, that they're kind of like, you know, it starts off showcasing some scenes from the first movie, and you know, it's just talking about how, you know, like that we get these like little captions, you know, the little voices inside your head know you inside and out. And and yeah, you know, for a little bit of the trailer, it's just scenes from the first movie. But then we actually get, you know, a couple scenes, like we see Riley turning 13, which is crazy, because she was like she was 11 in the first movie, and then at the very end of the first movie she turned 12. So I like that I don't know how old Riley's gonna be in this movie, like if we're gonna get a montage of her growing up, or if she'll just stay 13. Like, it's like, oh, she turned 13, and then, you know, that's when all the new emotions will show up. But, you know, we get her blowing out her birthday candles that say 13. Her parents are, like, watching and recording. Her dad's recording. And then we get, but everything changes, pops up on the screen, the text. And then the emotions are rudely interrupted in the middle of the night. There's this this red button that keeps glowing, and then like the alarm on it goes off, and like the crew, like the construction crew from the first movie, who are just kind of like these amorphous blobs, just these like blue and purple and green looking amorphous blobs, just like come up through the window. They smash the window with a wrecking ball, and they come in on this forklift, or this lift that's holding them all up, and they're like, all right, demo team, let's get going. Well, they don't say let's smash some shit up, but it's like, yeah, let's destroy some shit. Like, that's pretty much, they just come in and just start wrecking shit. And all of them are obviously annoyed, because they're all like, they clearly all went to sleep. Like, Disgust is wearing a nightgown and like a nightcap, or, you know, like to keep her hair. And I love Fear. He's got like an Ebenezer Scrooge type nightcap with a little fluffy ball on the end. But like, you know, they're like sawing the couch in half. They're like blowing sections of the headquarters up, and they just leave. And Joy's like, "What'd you do with the console?" Or, you know, what'd you do with the console? And they just leave. And, you know, we cut to the scene, like, the following morning. And Joy's like, "Why is this glowing orange?" And anger, fear, disgust, and sadness are like, "I don't know." And then they all kind of move out of the way. And then behind sadness is anxiety. We get a new emotion. And she's like this, like, she's got this big, like, her head is pretty much just eyes and mouth. Like, her head's so small, and her eyes and mouth are so big. She's got this very nervous-looking smile. She's got, like, bell-bottom pants, brown shoes, and a orange and white-striped shirt. And she's, like, orange. And she's got, like, this fluffy tuft of hair, these big eyebrows. And she's like, "Oh, hey, I wanted to make a good first impression. I'm sorry if I'm acting nervous. You know, where can I put my luggage?" And, yes, and someone pointed out, and I didn't catch it at first, but the fact that anxiety came with baggage, like literal baggage, but it's also like it's like it's making fun of, like, oh, metaphorical baggage. It's like, oh, that's funny, because, like, you know, there's a lot to unpack with someone who's dealing with anxiety. And so I was like, oh yeah, she actually came with baggage. That's pretty good. But they're all freaked out, because they're like, wait, it's, I mean, you know, because to them it's like it's always been the five of them in HQ. Like, that's all, it's always just been those five. Joy's been the leader, and you know, and obviously everyone's had their input, but, you know, it's their dynamic, you know, it's just kind of been shifted by this new emotion showing up out of the blue. And and Joy's like nervously like, oh yay, a new emotion. And anxiety's like, oh shit, I'm sorry, we wanted to make such a good first impression. I feel like in her mind you can kind of tell, like, she's like, oh shit, did I not make a good first impression? And disgust pops up, and she's like, "Well, wait, wait a minute, what do you mean we?" Like, she's got like that sass, like that disgust in her tone. And then we get, you know, the title card, and then we get the, at the very end, it says the feel good, sad, angry, afraid, disgusted, anxious, envious. It, you know, it goes through all the emotions, and then at the end it says the feel everything movie of 2024, and then it says only in theaters this summer. So is a great teaser. You know, Pixar does pretty good teaser trailers for their movies, because they don't show a lot. Usually, typically, like with this trailer, it's like maybe scenes from, especially if it's a sequel to one of their movies, usually it's the it's scenes from the first movie, and then we get like one scene of the of, you know, a scene in the movie, and it's like just the scene played out. You know, and I like that, because it's like, oh, it's kind of giving you a glimpse of what the movie's going to be about, but it's not showing a whole lot. And yeah, so I just, it looks great. I love, because, you know, it seems like, oh yeah, this makes sense for a sequel to, like, you know, Riley is growing up, and of course, since she is now going to be a teenager, because we saw her having her 13th birthday in the trailer, she is most likely going to, you know, that's going to come with new emotions. And I love that anxiety is the first one that pops up of the new emotions. And so that's great. And also, you know, like I said, the voice casting is great, because you had Amy Poehler as Joy. Phyllis Smith from The Office was Sadness. Mindy Kaling, also from The Office, was Disgust. Bill Hader was Fear. And Lewis Black is Anger. And I'm like, oh yeah, they all encapsulate, one, like, if you know, if you've seen any of them in anything else, it's like, oh yeah, they're perfect to voice the emotion of disgust or sadness or anger. And and, you know, from the little bit we get of all of them in the trailer, it's like, oh yeah, they're knocking it out of the park again. And I didn't know this until I looked it up. Actually, I think someone in the comments said it, and then I looked it up. But apparently Anxiety is voiced by Maya Hawke, who, you know, is the daughter of Uma Hawke. I mean, Uma Hawke, wow, is the daughter of Uma Thurman and Ethan Hawke. But, you know, a lot of you may know her. She was Robin in Stranger Things. You know, she came in season 3. And I was like, oh, that is her. You know, I listened to it again, and I was like, oh, that's cool. So, but I'm curious to see how this, you know, plays out, because it'll be interesting to see the five emotions having to deal with these new emotions. And, you know, having that kind of be a metaphor for, you know, what it's like to be a teenager and growing up and experiencing new emotions, you know. And I'm curious to see what the others look like, because we got a glimpse of them in the poster, but we didn't quite we don't quite see their faces. They're kind of like peeking out from a hole, or they're peering out from a hole underneath the floor. Like they're raising the floor a little bit. And our five main emotions that were in the first movie, the main characters, are like looking down at them. And the four of them are like peering, looking up at them. And they've lifted the platform they're on. They're like, oh, well, who are you? You know? And again, the voice acting from everyone's great. What we get from them in this is great, and the animation's great. So I'm looking forward to this. Looks like if they, you know, if it's good, it'll be a great sequel, and it might be even better than the original. And I love that they're just continuing the story of the first one, because they did set it up at the end of the first one where it's like she's getting more islands. You know, she's getting more, because islands are like, oh yeah, she's a, it's like sort of traits and personality traits of hers. So like there were more islands that. And hobbies and like interests of hers are represented by these islands popping up in her mind that they look out from the HQ windows. Like they're looking out from HQ and they could see all these islands within her mind. And when she turned 12, she got like boy band island popped up, fashion island popped up. So it'll be cool to see Riley growing as a young girl, as a teenage girl, as a character, and like these emotions growing. With with them having to deal with new emotions popping up and kind of, you know, taking over, or not taking over, but them having to learn how to deal with sharing HQ with these new emotions. It'll be a bit of an adjustment for them. But yeah, looks great. Can't wait to see it. And I'm definitely going to rewatch the first one before it comes out. Probably, well, sometime soon. And I'll probably watch it again, like, you know, a few days before it comes out. But with that being said, I realize I say "but with that being said" a lot. Anyway, but yes, with that being said, let's move on to the next trailer. Up next, we have the trailer for Argylle. Now, I knew nothing about this movie before I saw the trailer, but what intrigued me about the trailer when it was uploaded about a month ago was the title and the thumbnail, because the thumbnail for the trailer was a cat in a backpack, like this carrying case backpack, and it was like a yellow backpack with a brown diamond or brown Argylle pattern, which Argylle's like a diamond, and there was like a little plastic glass dome, and the cat's head was peering out of it, and I was like, okay, I wonder what this is about. And the more the trailer went on, the more I was like, oh yeah, I'm definitely going to see this. And by the end of the trailer, I was like, yeah, this is a day one for me. So basically, it's about this author played by Bryce Dallas Howard, named Ellie Conway. And she's the author of, she's kind of a recluse, but she's the author of this very successful series of spy novels named Argylle. They're the Argylle series. And she ends up running into this... She ends up running into this spy, played by Sam Rockwell, whose name's Aiden. Aiden, and they. It turns out that the plot of her book series that she was writing, Argylle, it turns out that it's very dangerously close to what she was. It turns out that like it's kind of mirroring what's a real spy adventure that's going on in the real world. Like there are actually spies that are carrying out this, you know, secret mission, and it's what Ellie's writing is like very similar, like eerily similar to what's going on with their mission. And so Aiden basically accompanies her, and they race across the world, and they're trying to stay one step ahead of the killers, you know, the people against Aiden's organization. And it looks really cool. Like it shot really well. The trailer was really well edited. The music, I'm not sure what the song that's used in the second half of the trailer is, but the first song, David Bowie's "Let's Dance," that was really well edited at the beginning of the trailer, with the clips in the trailer, and the song they use in the second half of the trailer is really well edited with the action, I can definitely tell why it's edited really well. I mean, I don't know if he had anything to do with the editing of the trailer, but Matthew Vaughn, the guy who directed the Kingsman movies, is the director of this movie. And I'm like, oh, that's perfect, because, you know, if you've never seen the Kingsman movies, they're spy movies, essentially. They're you know, the Kingsmen are a British spy organization, and they're great. I mean, well, the first one's great. The second one is a pretty good sequel. I really liked it. Not as good as the first one, and I still haven't seen the prequel, The King's Man, which came out like, well, now it's been 2 years. Well, this year it'll be 2 years later, I think in December. Yeah, so 2 years ago it came out, and I still haven't seen that, but I've heard it was good. But yeah, I mean, the first Kingsman is fantastic. Second one's pretty good. Third one I haven't seen. and I think they're still doing a third one, like that's an actual sequel, not a prequel. But yeah, this is another spy movie, and I do love the Kingsman vibes I get from it, because it's got the same kind of fast-paced, edited action, the, you know, cool-looking set pieces, the you know, just the characters interacting off each other. It does kind of feel like, and, you know, the fact that it's also a spy movie, it's like, oh yeah, this does feel very Kingsman-like, but it feels different enough. Like, it doesn't feel like it's just a retread of Kingsman. It's like its own thing. And, you know, so the trailer was edited really well. It didn't really spoil a whole lot. Like, it gave you kind of basic summary of what the plot is going to be. But it didn't really, I mean, in my opinion, it didn't really spoil a lot. And it showed a lot of cool stuff without giving away everything, which, you know, trailers, there are a lot of trailers that have a tendency to do that. Like, it's like, oh, well, I pretty much saw the whole movie. But with this, it's like, oh, nice. Okay, they didn't reveal everything. Plus, I'm curious as to why, I'm assuming, well, wait, no, okay, never mind. The cat's not named Argyle. The cat, what's her cat's name? Alfie. No, wait, Alfie is her cat's name. I'm curious as to why she carries her cat everywhere. And I'm curious as if the cat is going to, Alfie is going to play more of a role in the movie, or if he's just going to tag along for the adventure, because he's in the trailer a good bit, you know, he's in the trailer for a good bit of the run of the trailer. I don't know where I was going with that sentence. He's in the trailer a lot. That's what I was trying to say. And like he's at the end when the title pops up, he's like you know, walking along the E on Argyle. And yeah, she's like carrying him throughout the entire movie. And like the slogan, or the, you know, like it's like, once you know the secret, the cat's out of the bag. Or once you know the secret, don't let the cat out of the bag. And, which I'm like, I wonder if Alfie has more of a bigger role that we're not seeing, you know, or more of an importance in the story. you know, but it could just be like a, you know, just a misdirection. But yeah, I mean, I just love that it looks unique and original enough. And, you know, I mean, I do like sequels and like reboots and continuations and stuff, but I do like that, like, this is a new, even though it's a spy movie and we've seen a bunch of spy movies, it does look, it's not based on an original, or it's, I mean, it's not based on an idea we've seen before. I mean, it's not based on any intellectual property. Like, it's not a sequel to anything. It's not, you know, it's not a reboot of something old. It's like a new idea in this genre, you know. I mean, yeah, like I said, we've seen a bunch of spy movies, but it's a new spy movie, you know, and it's like, it's cool that it's like something original enough, you know. Where was I going with the rest of this? Yeah, I guess that's it. Yeah, it's cool that it's like its own new thing, while still kind of like being a part of this genre that we've seen a bunch of movies from, you know, action adventure spy movies, but it looks different enough to where it's not, you know, feeling like a retread of all these old spy movies. And, you know, and, you know, because Matthew Vaughn is directing it, it should feel like that, because Kingsman did feel very different. You know, it felt like a breath of fresh air, amongst all the spy movies we've gotten. Not that I've seen a bunch of spy movies, but like it did feel like enough of its own thing. It felt new, you know? And yeah, this does too. And not to mention the cast is stacked for the movie. Like there's, like I said, you have Bryce Dallas Howard, and I've seen him, and she's great. And then you've got Sam Rockwell, who I feel like I've seen in something before. I'm not quite sure what. I've seen him in, but I've heard his name before. I feel like I've seen him in some movies before. But not only them, you've got Samuel L. Jackson, who was in the first Kingsman, who's always great. You got Henry Cavill, John Cena, Dua Lipa, and then you have Catherine O'Hara, who Kevin's mom in the first two Home Alone movies, and she's in Schitt's Creek, which I haven't seen, but I've heard it was a good show. And you've also got Sophia Boutella, who was in the first Kingsman. I'm trying to remember who she played. And then you've got Bryan Cranston, who seems to be playing the villain, or one of the villains. And I was like, oh shit, Bryan Cranston too? Like, the more the trailer went on, I'm like, oh yeah, this is a good cast. It comes out, the movie comes out February 2nd, so not too far from now. Not too long of a wait. I'm very much looking forward to it. Can't wait to see how it plays out. It just looks like it's going to be a good, it's a kind of an original idea in this genre that's, had a bunch of movies. Not just spy movies, but action movies too. We've seen a lot of action movies, and it just looks different and unique enough to not feel like it's just treading the same waters. You know what I mean? I just can't wait to see it. I feel like I'm repeating myself. So I guess that's pretty much all I have to say on this trailer. So now let's move on to the next trailer. Up next, we have the trailer for Leave the World Behind, which is based on the best-selling book by the same name, and it's a Netflix movie, so get to stream it at home. But this was a great trailer too, because it also, like Argylle, didn't reveal a whole lot of the plot. In fact, I think it may have even revealed less of what was going on in the story than Argylle did. But it's basically there's this family and the couple who are played by Julia Roberts and Ethan Hawke, rent out this luxurious home. They're on vacation. They're at this very nice, I guess, Airbnb kind of place, and their trip kind of takes an ominous turn when there's this cyber attack that happens that knocks out all their devices, and there's this couple that show up in the middle of the night one night, or maybe it's not the very middle of the night, but it's like late at night. Well, no, I guess it is the middle of the night because they're in their pajamas, yeah. And they open the, they knock on the door. Ethan Hawke's character opens it, and and the couple, they're it looks like they've just come back from a night at the opera, or maybe, because he's wearing a tux, and his wife or girlfriend's wearing a dress, and he's like, I'm so sorry to bother you, but this is our house. And they're like, and Julia Roberts' character's like, this is your house? And they're confused because they're like, well, we booked this place. And it's just very intriguing because, like I said, you're not quite sure who to believe, and just everything that's going on in the trailer, it's just a bunch of shots of like I said, there's a cyber attack that happens, and there's just a bunch of weird shit that happens in the trailer, and we get a lot of really cool shots. Like we get a shot of a you know they we get them turning on their porch lights at night, and we see like 12 deer in the bushes. And like some have like walked onto the lawn, and they're just like staring at everyone in the house, or whoever's in the house, whoever turned on the lights. We get like a couple shots of people at the beach. Well, they're actually at the beach. Ethan Hawke and Julia Roberts' characters, they're at the beach. They get up and they look at the ship coming towards the shore, and we see everyone on the beach like looking at the ship, like, "What are you doing? Slow down!" And people are filming it. People are like pointing and talking to each other, like, what's going on with the ship? We see the ship actually come on to shore, and like everyone's running away. We get like these weird Dutch angle, like kind of off kilter shots of, like there's one scene where like the cameras, it's like everything's sideways, like the landscape is sideways. There's a shot of and Kevin Bacon's in the movie too. We get a shot of like Ethan Hawke trying to calm down, like he's trying to be the mediator between Kevin Bacon and Mahershala Ali's character. I probably butchered his first name. But yeah, they're Ethan or Kevin Bacon's character has a shotgun, and Mahershala Ali's character has a pistol, and they're both something happened. They're both like pointing their guns at each other, and Ethan Hawke's character is like, whoa, wait, guys, calm down, you know. And then we get shots of like them, like Julia Roberts is like screaming in one shot. There's like a bunch of abandoned cars. She's like walking through a road of a bunch of like identical abandoned cars, on this like road alongside the beach, or like it's alongside this lake or this river or this, you know. And yeah, it's just, and oh, and then there's a shot. I know I'm just like going over all these shots in the trailer. There's one shot of this woman like scream. Oh yeah. And Julia Roberts is like screaming in the middle of the woods. And then there's a shot of, Ethan Hawke driving, or his character driving, frantically driving his car. And there's a woman like running alongside the car, like pounding on the window, screaming at him. And just, you're watching the trailer, you're watching all this chaos unfold. You're like, what the hell is going on? You know? And I love that. Like, again, same with Argyle. I love when trailers don't like reveal a whole lot, or, you know, they give you some breadcrumbs. They give you a little bit of the plot, and then, you know, show you a bunch of like out of context scenes. And, you know, you kind of have to, or in your mind, you are, and you want to like piece together what's going on. And I love that. But you know, I mean, Ethan Hawke and Julia Roberts are great. Mahershala Ali. I feel like I'm butchering his name every time I say it. He looks great. He looks like he's going to do a good job in the movie. Kevin Bacon, is pretty good. He's a good actor. He'll probably have a pretty good role. And Myla, I believe, is, she's like Mahershala Ali's character's wife in the movie. I don't think I've seen her, but I mean, she looks like she might play a pretty good role too, or play her part really well. So yeah, the movie comes out December 8th on Netflix. It says it's also in select theaters in November, but you know, it probably won't be at the theater I'm showing, you know, I go to, or, you know, my local theater, cause they didn't have the holdovers. So, you know, I can wait for it to be on Netflix. Because, like, last year, Glass Onion was in theaters for a little bit, the Knives Out 2 movie, or the sequel to Knives Out. And, you know, I was like, well, I could just wait for it. Because, you know, they did that, I guess, so it would, like, be eligible for awards, like Oscars and stuff. But, you know, I mean, but it was a Netflix original movie. I mean, it was going to Netflix. So I was like, I'll just wait for it to go on Netflix. So, and I did. It came out, like, you know, a month later. In December of last year. So, you know, I mean, I'll just do the same with this. It comes out in less than a month. It's December 8th. So, but yeah, I mean, it looks great. Can't wait to see it. Intrigued especially because I've never read the book. So, you know, I'm even more in the dark as to what the hell's going on. And I love that. But yeah, so, can't wait to see it. And now with that, you know what? I caught myself. I'm not going to say that. With that trailer having been discussed, I guess that's not that much better. But anyway, let's move on to the next trailer. Up next, we have the teaser trailer for Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Now, I have not seen the entire trilogy, the Planet of the Apes trilogy. I have seen the original 68 movie, which is not connected to the, you know, this reboot, trilogy, you know, this reboot franchise. But I, you know, did see that movie. And then I saw the original first movie in the, Planet of the Apes trilogy, Rise of the Planet of the Apes, a couple years ago. I guess it's been like 3, maybe 4 years ago. I don't know. It's been a little while, but I remember really enjoying the movie and really liking it. But for whatever reason, I just didn't continue with the next two. But I've heard really great things about the trilogy. I've heard a lot of people say it's like a perfect trilogy. You know, a lot of people said, I believe Woody Harrelson's in the movie. I've heard people say, yeah, he was great. I did think, if I remember correctly, yeah. I like John Lithgow in the first movie. He was pretty good. And also Andy Serkis, who is known for playing a lot of CGI characters. You know, he played Gollum in the Lord of the Rings trilogy. He was General Snoke or Emperor Snoke in the first two Star Wars sequel trilogy movies, or the first two in the sequel trilogy. He was actually himself. He wasn't in a green screen suit or anything, but he was Ulysses Klaue in Black Panther. And what else has he been? He's been in a bunch of stuff. But yeah, I mean, most of what he's known for, he's like actually a CGI character. Like he's wearing a green screen, you know, suit, and he's not actually, you know, you can't actually see him. But I remember loving. I remember thinking that he did a great job as Caesar in the first Planet of the Apes movie, in Rise of the Planet of the Apes, and yeah, I this teaser trailer looks really cool, and from what I understand, or from what I've read, yeah, so apparently this is like generations after the events of the third movie, which was War for the Planet of the Apes, which was came out in 2017. So apparently ape civilizations, you know, have emerged from the oasis that Caesar led, you know, his army of apes with. And so apes are doing well, and humans have regressed into a feral state. And apparently, you know, this the leader of the apes, Proximus Caesar, he's like perverting the teachings of Caesar to enslave other clans in the search for like traces of our technology, like technology from the past that we created. And there's this chimp that goes on a journey, Noah, N-O-A, and he embarks on a journey alongside a young human named May to kind of like, you know, determine how apes and humans are going to coexist in the future, you know, to kind of like prevent any future wars or, you know, any discrimination between humans and apes. And I like that idea. Like, I like that, like, it's like continuing, again, even though I haven't seen 2 and 3, I haven't seen Dawn and War, you know, I do like the fact that this is continuing, like, way after the original trilogy. And even though Matt Reeves, who directed The Batman last year, which was a great movie, I loved it, even though he directed the first three, he's not directing this one. I believe it's directed by Wes Ball, who is you know, filmmaker, visual effects artist. He directed the Maze Runner movie, a trilogy. Okay. Which I have not seen that either, but I've heard some people say that it's good. At least the first one's pretty good. But yeah, this, I mean, looking at the trailer, it looks great visually. Like the work done on the apes, the CGI looks fantastic. And yeah, I just love the concept that it's like it seems like hundreds of years, like generations later. It'll be really cool to see, especially when I actually see Dawn and War, when I see the, you know, 2 and 3 in the trilogy, it'll be cool to go from the end of the third one to, you know, this one, which is generations later, and see like how much has changed. Cause you can, you know, looking at the trailer, it's like, there are a bunch of like, you know, like grass and everything is like a bunch of abandoned buildings and grass and vines and everything have like grown over all the old human, you know, landscapes and all that. And then like there's a shot of some apes riding horses and they're passing by a rusted ship that like shipwrecked on land. They're like, you know, walking their, or they're on horses, like, you know, alongside the beach, you know, the waves are kind of gently rushing by the horses' legs, and you know, they're walking up on this rusted abandoned ship that like crashed or shipwrecked. And yeah, it just looks really cool. The leader looks really cool. I like his crown, his makeshift crown, and his getup that he's got on. I love the tasers that they have, like the taser swords almost, or taser spears they've got. They look really cool. So yeah, I mean, I'm very much looking forward to it. It looks, you know, it's a good teaser trailer. It got me interested in this, and it also got me interested in, you know, going back and watching the trilogy, because like I said, it's been forever since I've seen the first one, and I mean the first one of this trilogy, and it's been a long time since I've seen the original 68 movie, you know, but it's been a while since I've seen this movie, and it's, I've never seen the other two, so I'm curious to see what happens in those. Because like I said, everyone, a lot of people have said this is a perfect trilogy. And some people I've, you know, some comments are like, oh man, I hope it's good. I hope they don't screw up the ending to, you know, to the third one by having this fourth movie. And yeah, I mean, they probably won't. But then again, I haven't seen the third one, and I haven't seen this one, so I can't say for sure. But it looks like, even though they didn't get the same director, it looks like they've got a bunch of the same people that worked on the previous three to work on this one. And it's the same studio, you know, 20th Century, well, not 20th Century Fox anymore, but, you know, ever since Disney bought them, it's 20th Century Studios. But it's pretty much the same studio, and it seems like the same people and working on the movie. And the CGI for the apes looks great, and I love the fact that it's, like, way later in the future, instead of continuing right where the third one left off. Yeah, so, I mean, I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to see the other two in the trilogy and rewatch. We'll rewatch the entire trilogy, and, yeah, I can't wait for this one, too. And it comes out Memorial Day weekend, so good. It seems like a perfect summer movie, you know, big, epic blockbuster movie to be released in the beginning of summer, you know, or sort of the beginning of summer. It's funny because, like, now movies that blockbusters that come out, they're like this summer, like the Super Mario Brothers movie, which came out in April. They were like, oh yeah, summer movie. I'm like, well, it's still April. It's still technically spring, but whatever, you know. But yeah, I looking forward to this too. Can't wait to watch the first three again, or can't wait to rewatch the first one and watch 2 and 3 for the first time. And yeah, hopefully 2 and 3 are good. I've heard nothing but good things about them, and hopefully the fourth one's good. So up next, we have the trailer for The Fall Guy. Now, I know what I said with Argyle about, you know, liking movies that are original or original enough ideas that aren't based on a previous IP, or, you know, a reboot of that IP, or a sequel, or, you know, anything. But but this is an adaptation. This is a film adaptation of the 1980s TV show by the same name, which I did not know was a show. And, you know, it did show a lot, and it had probably too long of a trailer than it needed to. I mean, I liked the trailer, but it's like 3.5 minutes. It could have been a little shorter. But it was still a good trailer. So, you know, it did a few things that I, you know, liked about the trailer for Argyle, the trailers for Argyle and Leave the World Behind. This did the kind of the opposite of those two trailers, where it showed maybe a little bit too much, and the trailer was a little bit longer than it meant to be, or than it probably should have been. And it's also based on something that's a previously established property, you know, that's like from the 80s nonetheless. And yet I, you know, call me a hypocrite, but, you know, it still looks good. Like, I don't mind sequels and like reboots of things as long as they're good. And this looks like it'll be pretty good. It's like got some pretty good action, and I like the plot. And I'm assuming the plot of this is pretty much what the plot of the 80s TV show was. But it's basically about this stuntman named Colt Seavers, who's played by Ryan Gosling, a.k.a. Ken. but he is working on a movie set with this A-list star who... for whom he doubled long ago. He doubled as like his stuntman, his stuntman. But he goes missing, and the film is in danger of being shut down. And the film's being directed by his ex-girlfriend Jodie Marino, played by Emily Blunt. This is her first film, so, you know, like, she's like, oh yeah, we got to save the film, and he volunteers to basically become a temporary PI, like private investigator, and pretty much look into the disappearance of, you know, the actor, like, you know, where'd he go. And I believe Tom Ryder is the character. Aaron Taylor Johnson is playing Tom Ryder. It looks pretty good. You know, it looks like a good, fun action movie. I do like the chemistry between Ryan Gosling and and Emily Blunt. I think they have some good back and forth moments in the trailer, especially in the beginning when she says, "You're literally the last person on earth I want to see." And she says, "I'd slap the shit out of you." And then I really could. And then he responds with, "And I'm open to that in a safer environment." And then she just kind of chuckles, like kind of laughs it off. But yeah, I mean, so they have some pretty good chemistry. I'm down to see a romance between the two of them. And yeah, the action looks pretty good. And I do love, you know, movies that kind of talk about, or the plot of them kind of, the plot of the movies kind of involve making a movie. Like Teen Titans Go to the Movies, you know, was kind of meta and talked about, you know, making a movie. Like they were making a Teen Titans Go movie in the Teen Titans Go movie. Scream 3 did that, where they were filming the third Stab movie, which in the Scream series, the Stab series is pretty much, you know, the events of the Scream movies, you know, filmed, you know, played out in film. You know, it's like, oh yeah, the events became so popular in the book form in the movies that they filmed, you know, Stab, which was a retelling of the events of the Woodsboro murders, which was the book that one of the characters wrote. And, you know, it's the films are based on what happened in Woodsboro in the movies. And sorry, that probably sounded confusing to anyone who hasn't watched the movies the way I explained that. But anyway, so yeah, anyway, I love when movies, either the plot, just a little bit of the plot, or the entire plot revolves around them making a movie, or them making fun of movies, or, you know, or having some. Oh, and Babylon was also kind of like, and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Yeah, you know, so like they were kind of about Hollywood and filming movies and all that, and shows and stuff. So I do kind of like that. So I like that aspect of the trailer. The action looks pretty good. The acting looks pretty good from everyone. Oh, and Winston Duke is in the movie. He looks like he'll be pretty fun. Oh, and also Hannah Waddingham, who plays played Rebecca in Ted Lasso. She's Jodie's executive producer on the movie, Emily Blunt's character. And I do think that, like I said, I do like the chemistry between Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt, between them and their characters. So that's probably going to be pretty good. And it's also directed by David Leitch. Hopefully I'm not butchering his name. But he directed the first John Wick movie. I believe he only directed the first one, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, he directed the first John Wick. He directed Deadpool 2. He directed Hobbs and Shaw, and he directed the Bullet Train, which was one of my favorite movies from last year. So that's cool. And he also directed Atomic Blonde, which I have not seen, but I have seen his other movies that he's directed. So, and he was also an executive and producer and regular producer on 2 and 3 and 4, John Wick's 2, 3, and 4. So yeah, so you know, it's got, and you know, even though I haven't seen the original show, you know, if this movie's good, it might intrigue me. It might get me to want to watch the original show, or if not, it'll at least be a good movie that I can watch without having to know what happened in the original show. Because it's an adaptation of the show, so it hopefully probably won't be too reliant on you having seen the show. But anyone who has seen the show will be like, if, you know, if the movie's good, it'll be like, oh, this was a good adaptation of the show. Because apparently my dad's seen the show, and I think he said that he liked it. I don't know if he was an avid fan of it, you know, but apparently what he said about it, or the way he talked about it, seemed like he did like it. So, yeah, but it comes out March 1st of next year, so hopefully it'll be good. And I believe there's one more trailer, two more I want to talk about, and then I'll be done. So let's move on to the next trailer. The penultimate trailer we have to talk about for tonight's episode is the second trailer for Dune Part 2. Now, the movie was originally supposed to have already been released. It was supposed to come out last week. It was supposed to come out last Friday. But for whatever reason, like a month ago, they pushed it back to March 15th. So it's still, I mean, it's not that far away, but still it's like, at this point, it's like, I mean, you know, at the time, you know, a month ago when they did move this back, it's like, was it because of the writers and actors strike? Like, why did that affect this movie coming out? Because you'd think with, because this trailer was released June 29th. And you'd think that, you know, since they had that date, you know, set for, you know, so long, that, it, you know, they were, it was going to stay. Like, it didn't seem like, it seemed like that they had filmed the entire movie already. So why push it back? And I'm still not quite sure why they pushed it back, but regardless, they did. I guess it had something to do with the writers and actors strike, which they are now officially both done with. So that's, you know, that's good that hopefully, they've, you know, the writers and actors have set a pretty good deal with the executives, regarding AI and, you know, the usage of it and better pay. So yeah, the writer's strike ended like, I guess, was it like a month ago, I think? And the actor's strike just ended like 2 or 3 days ago. So thankfully, you know, production should start ramping up on shows and movies that have been delayed ever since May and July, you know, because of the strikes. But anyway, so yeah, I loved the first Dune when it came out. I haven't seen the 80s Dune. I've heard some people liked it. A lot of people don't. Mixed bag, kind of. But you know, a lot of people were like, oh, the book and the original movie were too long to have only been told in one movie. And so, you know, this Denis Villeneuve, I believe is how you pronounce his name, he split the movie up into two parts. I mean, you know, it's like two movies, or one movie and split in two, essentially. Or, you know, the first book is like, is basically these two movies. And the first movie does end on a big cliffhanger. And it's like, ah, oh, shit, what's going to happen next? But the first movie came out 2 years ago. I think right now it's been like 2 years and maybe a week ago. But I didn't go to the theaters to see it. I went to see it on I saw it on HBO Max, or now it's just Max. But I loved it. I thought it was great. I loved the way it was shot. The acting was great. I loved the world building, you know, because this whole galaxy, you know, like all these planets and the rules of these planets, you know, the way this kingdom, you know, House Atreides, you know, the way the you know, their culture and the way they had the way things worked on their planet, you know, the sandworms, just the everything was great, you know, the spice, you know, the trading and the armor, you know, the battles, what little we saw of the battles, the was it the emperor, not the emperor, but the what was his name, but the villain was great. He was a great menacing villain. And yeah, I mean, just, you know, it got me hyped to see the second one, and the trailer looks great. Like, all the trailers we've seen for Dune Part 2 look great. And it's going to be cool to see. I think maybe they said they were going to be there. The director said they were going to do a third one. I'm curious to see what that'll be like. But it looks like, you know, because we got glimpses of battles, and, you know, because Paul kind of was having these visions of this huge epic war to come. You know, and we didn't really see a whole lot of action in the first one, but that's because the first one was a lot of build up to this one, which, you know, from the trailer, it looks like there is going to be this huge epic battle that was kind of teased in the first one. And there's going to be a lot of action. And, you know, not only are we getting the cast back from the first one, you know, we've got Timothy Chalamet and Daya, Rebecca Ferguson, who played his mother in the first one, Josh Brolin, Dave Bautista, who else was in the first one, Stellan Skarsgård, Javier Bardem. But we're also getting Austin Butler, who's playing one of the again, I forgot their name. Again, it's been forever since I've seen it. Or, you know, but he plays one of the members of House Harkonnen. You know, he looks pretty badass. There's a couple scenes of, it's like a duel between him and it's not a duel between him and Paul, but it's a duel between him and another member of House Harkonnen. And yeah, he looks, you know, pretty cool. The fights in the first one, you know, what the few we got, the fight choreography was really cool. But yeah, we've got him, Florence Pugh, who is one of my celebrity crushes. She's a great actress. She was great as Yelena in the Hawkeye series and in Black Widow. She was great in Midsommar. I forgot her character. Danny. Yeah, she was great as Danny in Midsommar. What else has she been in? But anyway, everything I've seen her in, she's been great. And she looks like she'll be pretty good in this movie, too. And you've also got Mr. Christopher Walken here in the movie. You know him. You should. He's a great actor. You've got Christopher Walken himself, and some more people. But like those are three of the new, bigger main characters. Or it looks like some of the newer characters that are gonna be like main characters in the movie. And yeah, just it looks great. You know, it sucks. I would have liked to have seen it last week, but I mean, at least it was like a month ago that they announced that they pushed it back, and not like a few days or a week before, because then it would have been like, well, at that point, why even bother, you know? But yeah, so, I mean, and this one, yeah, looks like a good continuation. Can't wait to see how it ends or how it continues the story. I don't know if it'll end here, because I think he said he was going to make a part three, the director, but it'll be interesting to see what happens. So, yeah, with that being said, let's move on to the last trailer, because this has gone over an hour, a little bit longer than I meant to, but it's fine. But let's move on to the last trailer that I'm going to be talking about tonight. And last but not least, the final trailer I will be reviewing, discussing tonight, is the teaser trailer for Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. Now, I know you're all going to be thinking this the very second I utter this sentence, but I have not seen any of the Ghostbusters movies, including the first one. I know, I suck. But I have always meant to. It's one of those movies I've always meant to watch, and I just, for whatever reason, haven't gotten around to it. And I kind of hate myself for, I mean, not hate myself, but I'm kind of kicking myself for not having watched the first Ghostbusters this Halloween, because I'm like, that would have been a great time to watch it, because it's about ghosts, you know, paranormal shit. But it'd be a good horror comedy, you know, or comedy horror, you know. I guess it's more comedy than horror, but, you know, it would have been good to have, that would have been good timing. But I didn't get around to it, and it's past Halloween. But, you know, this is a sequel to the sequel, you know, that came out in 2021. It was supposed to come out summer of 2020, but it was one of the many movies delayed because of the pandemic, and it ended up coming out in November of 2021. But I do love this teaser trailer, because it does look like they're, you know, a lot of people, you know, said that Afterlife was kind of doing something different than Ghostbusters like 2 had done, and like the 2016 female reboot did. But then it kind of, you know, like a lot of people said that it relied on the cameos of the original Ghostbusters a little bit too much. It relied a little bit too much on nostalgia towards the end. And having never seen it, you know, but I am going to watch them before this one comes out. I'll be curious to see, you know, if what they said reigns true. I'm assuming it did, but you know, this trailer is great. I do love this teaser trailer, because it's like pretty much the old Ghostbusters and Paul Rudd. I think he was I think he's like the uncle of one of the new kids in the, or one of the kids that was in the first movie, because he was in the Afterlife, the previous movie, and I love Paul Rudd. He's great in everything he's in. Who doesn't love Paul Rudd, you know? But, you know, they got the original three, because they didn't get all four. I think one of the Ghostbusters died, but they got pretty much the other three Ghostbusters back. And then they got the characters, or the actors and the characters from the previous movie, because I know Finn Wolfhard played a character in the previous movie. And they got the girl, one of the girls from the previous movie. Again, I don't know their names, but yeah, it looks like they got all the kids. I'll just say this. Looks like they got all the kids, or the actors who played the kids, back for this one, the other three Ghostbusters. And also, I don't know if Patton, and also Paul Rudd, whichever character he played, they got him back for this. Also, I don't know who, oh, and Kumail Nanjiani's in it. I don't know if he was in the previous one, but he's in a quick shot of in this trailer. And also Patton Oswalt, which I'm like, oh shit, because I love Patton Oswalt. He's a hilarious comedian. He's great in everything he's into. But I don't know if he was in the previous movie, but you know, seeing him, I'm like, oh, nice addition to the cast. You know, it'll be cool to see him interact with the characters. But I do love, because essentially the ghosts attack New York again, but like it's like New York essentially freezes over. And so they're having to deal, you know, hence the title, Frozen Empire. So, you know, the Ghostbusters, the new and old Ghostbusters, are having to deal with this frozen landscape, you know, that the ghosts have left, you know, New York in, you know, this just terrible frozen state that New York has been reduced to. And, yeah, and, like, we see, like, a couple people freeze up, like, it's so cold, they literally freeze in place. I'm like, oh, shit, that looks pretty cool. And yeah, so, and I do like that it seems like they're doing something a little different, with this one. And again, I say that having never seen any of the Ghostbusters movies, but from what I've heard from people, it seems like that everyone else likes that they're doing something different. And I do like the look of it. Like, I do love the cold wintry look. I do love the uniforms, how they're all like red jackets. Like that they have the winter gear they're wearing is like, you know, they got the Ghostbusters logo and it's like the jackets they're wearing are red and they're like kind of puffy winter looking jackets. It looks cool. And I'm definitely, it comes out March, 20, what is it? March 29th, I think. Let me look on, yeah, March. Yeah, I was right. March 29th. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, I can't wait for that. Hopefully it'll be good. And it'll give me a time to watch the previous movies. I may even watch the 2016 reboot, even though technically that's not a continuation. It's a reboot and it's with an entirely new cast that are just women Ghostbusters. So, you know, I guess I don't need to. I may watch it, but I guess it wouldn't really be matter to the canon of things because it's its own thing in the Ghostbusters world. You know, it's a female reboot. But anyway, this episode's gone on a little bit longer than I expected it to, much like last week's episode. But I did have a lot of trailers that I wanted to talk about, or you know, for this particular episode. And yeah, because since I didn't have anything planned, I figured, yeah, why not do another one of these? And hopefully, all of you who have, you know, listened to my other trailer talks, maybe I've only done one. But anyway, the one or two that I've done. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this one too, if you enjoyed those. And if you haven't listened to those, hopefully you enjoyed this nice change of pace. But yeah, so next week I'll try to upload two episodes. Next Friday I should be, I have to watch both seasons first. I still haven't watched them yet, but I plan on doing a double review on Friday of the first season of Gen V and the second season of Loki. I've been watching other shows, so I haven't quite gotten to them yet, but I will try to get both of them watched before next Friday and upload that episode on Friday. And then I'll also, on Saturday, probably upload my review of the new horror movie, Thanksgiving, coming out next Friday. That'll probably be Saturday. Although, if for whatever reason I don't quite get Gen V and Loki finished, then I'll upload my Thanksgiving review first, and then Saturday or Sunday maybe might be my review of Gen V and Loki. Again, depending on if I get them both done, watched in time, just because, you know, I'm watching other stuff and, you know, relaxing and work, you know, I'll try to get that uploaded Friday and then my Thanksgiving review Saturday. But yeah, so look forward to those two reviews sometime next week, hopefully Friday and Saturday. But yeah, I guess that's it. So with that being said, I hope you all have a great weekend. I'll see you all next Friday. And until then, take care.